together. And today I have a message titled Spiritual Intimacy. And I'm going to be breaking that out of Philippians chapter 1. And you can head on over there. And I want to give a little bit because I've preached a few messages here out of Philippians. And I've never preached verse by verse through a book. And I've always wanted to, and I always be concerned, is there attention spans able to do that? And I think Philippians, if I were to start somewhere, would be probably a good one. So I may continue this as the Lord leads. Just pray for me to be led as the Spirit leads to go through an entire book. There is a special blessing in going through a book. In your readings, if ever you get caught up, you get bored with Bible teachings and readings, I mean, as you're going through, grab hold of one of the smaller books, Ephesians or Colossians or Philippians, and read through the entire book about five times a day through a week. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will open your eyes to something new and wonderful in the Scriptures and whatever that book is, and it'll bless you in your reading. Because sometimes going through different areas and moving elsewhere will sometimes not release the power that's in an entire book together. And so here I am in it's my third message, the second in the two here, and I'm going to be talking about Philippi, and I want to give you a little background. Maybe it's time to do that. Philippi was on one of the major trade routes in the ancient world 2,000 years ago. And in between, as we're learning on Sunday mornings, in between the East and the West, Asia and Europe and Macedonia and the Middle East, there was trade routes that linked the two, which were the world, basically, to everybody who lived there. The other oceans were not really being crossed as much, but the two worlds were being crisscrossed through the trade routes. And Philippi, which is a book was written to the Philippians, was on one of these major trade routes. And so it was quite, you know, think about the people who would go through trade routes and the different types of travelers, not really, you know, godly people. There would be travelers that would look to steal and try to get people to give more money for maybe what something's worth. We call that thievery. And so there was a lot of different people in Philippi. So as Paul had planted this church in Philippi, there was a big group of people, not many Jewish people. They didn't even have a synagogue. And it only took 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue in an area. So they were worshiping outside the city on the river Ganges. And so Paul would go there and he started preaching first to the Jew, next to the Gentiles. There were a lot of Gentiles in Philippi. There's a point to all this. Follow with me, please. A little small sample of what we hear out of Scripture. Acts chapter 16 tells us there was an Asian, there was a Greek, there was a Roman. We have Lydia. She was the one who was a businesswoman who sold purple clothing. We have a slave girl who had been released from a spirit of divination, demon-possessed. And we also have a jailer, the Philippian jailer, which we are familiar with. Different races, different professions, different genders, social groups, which were all over the place. This church broke the rules of what it was to gather in those days. Galatians 3:28. You can head on over there if you wanted to. You can let me read it out of Scripture because I did not write it down, but let me read it right out of the book here. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. They were breaking the rules of what the boundaries were to interact with different people of the day. And this was unheard of for most people. You see, people tend to put up walls. That's how we are in our human nature. And when we are in different social groups or ethnic groups, we tend to kind of push off on, that's a little strange for me, and it's kind of hard to relate, and maybe I might be interested, but there's a wall somewhere, typically, I'm not saying everybody does this, but somewhere in our nature, we tend to segregate. And along those social, ethnic, or economic circles, the world segregates, but I believe if I took a survey here, most of you would be against segregation. I believe you would be, no, I'm all about gathering together in different groups and getting to know each other. But I think a closer look under the surface, if we really look at our groups that we hang around with, we look segregated. We tend to segregate. In our churches, if you look, there's black churches, there's Pentecostal churches, there's Baptist churches, there's white churches, there's country churches, there's city churches, and they tend to gather the types of people that they're labeled as. Pastors tend to gather groups of people that they seem to assimilate with. That's natural human nature. And so what I want to do is maybe teach a little against that, because we can't just assume that we all like, you know, acceptance, because we tend to gravitate towards segregation. We do put up walls. We do shun interactions with certain people. You see, really, when we kind of think of it as, I can interact with you as long as I don't get uncomfortable. As long as I'm not questioning what is going on here and not a little bit confusion because I don't understand, I can interact with you. But here in Philippians chapter 1, we see a picture of brotherly love that's deep. That's what we're going to call intimate. And what I want here at Countryside is what the Philippians were gathering together in their groupings, where different people were gathering together, no matter what that was the wall, and looking to say, look, there may be a wall. I want to get through it. I want to get over it. I want to be inclusive instead of exclusive. And that actually takes some work. And I know that's what Freedom and I want, and I want to be the lead in that. And I believe most of you would say, I want that too. Anybody else here would agree? Would you want that too? Amen. Because that's what Jesus did with us, is he left it all, and he integrated with the ones that would have had the biggest problem with him. And so I invite you today on a little journey as we take a good look at spiritual intimacy and the way it relates to the body of Christ through the Church of Philippi. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank you that you give us the scriptures that actually open us up to growing, that allow us to see what you want from us. And not that we have to feel bad about ourselves, but because of who we are, broken in humanity, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you give us joy in going forward and growing. So let us be inclusive and receptive of what your Spirit wants to do this morning. And I thank you for the Church of Philippi that was an example. Lord, let us be, like you say, to imitators of the things of God. We give you all the praise and glory in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at 3 through 11. Let's go ahead and I'll read that. Stand as you are able. I'd like to do that every once in a while. Why don't we stand as we read the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. For you, fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident on this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, for your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. What some awesome words right there. And we're going to break this down a little bit. Amen. And we're going to break this down a little bit because I want it to be in our hearts. And as I've been studying and I've been going through this and the Lord is just working in my heart, I'm not saying I'm doing all this perfectly, but I'm wanting more and more. It's making me more hungry and more desirous and more. Really, I'm starting to see myself in a mirror that, man, I don't always like what I see. But thank God you can make me a new creature and I can choose to be a new man today. His mercies are new each day, right? Wednesdays, amen. New mercies each day. And I'm thankful for that. So intimacy. Intimacy. Let's just think about that word. Sometimes we go into a marital relationship, we think of intimacy, but I want to go outside of that a little bit. But that is what we long for in our most significant relationships, in our marriages. We want transparency. We want a deep unity. Not surfacey, deep unity. This is a good one that I thought of. We want a trusting acceptance. Anybody like to have a relationship that is one that they see you as you are and they're not running out the door or trying to fix you? That's awesomeness right there. And so we long for it in our marriages, obviously, but also we long for it between parents and children. We look for that. That's a spiritual bond right there, a parent and a son or a daughter. We look for it in our potential mates. For those who have been married for years, maybe think back to those years, and those who are thinking about getting married someday soon, we're thinking, I really want that intimacy in this man or this woman that I'm about to spend my life with. I want that deep unity, that transparency, that trusting acceptance. And anyone whoever's been married long enough knows that takes work. Amen. That takes work. And so let us never give up on that grand dream. It's worth it. We want it in our mates, potential mates, our marriage, our children, but also in certain friendships. Some of us, really, if you have about five serious longtime friends, you're way blessed. If you have one that you could tell everything to and they haven't run away, you are probably more blessed than most people out there. You got to understand that. Friendships are very special, and intimate friendships is even more special. And intimacy is built. It takes time. It takes trusting. See, trust is given, right? See, we give trust fully. It's once somebody breaks that trust, you got to start building that back up. But often in our we just give trust out. I'm going to trust you, but until you break that. But intimacy takes time. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to look at you. I like this, and I'm grabbing. Even in the children, you grab them, you see them, hold them as they're young, but then they start getting older, and you're like, wow, where did this kid come from? And you know what's going on? But you have that bond now, that intimacy. That we're going to get through this. Friendships. It's built over time with a relationship, and we must do the time to build it purposefully. And really, that intimacy comes from understanding Jesus Christ. And what I want to look at is even further is the intimacy here. The intimacy within the body of Christ, not so much the universal church all over, but really the fellowship that we have chosen to come into. And creating time, through time, the intimacy that Jesus Christ wants us to have. And because it's a spiritual group, we're beginning on the right foundation. And so as we're united in the grace of God, as we are seeing the power of God, and as Paul has felt for his fellow believers here in Philippi, verse 7, let's look at it. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my chains in the defense of confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. I have you in my heart. In verse 8, he goes on a little more. I long for you. I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And that's an understanding here that I want to put in our first point. All true intimate relationships must rest on spiritual foundations. And not just any spiritual foundations, the one true Jesus Christ spiritual foundation. And that's why this group right here, because if we're all believers in Jesus Christ, all have a bond that is unique according to everything else in the world. We've been pulled out of the world and into a body of people that is special and unique because we have the bond of Jesus Christ and His grace. And our understanding of natural humanity, we are really all selfish and prideful. So me trying to build intimacy outside of a spiritual foundation will always find its faults. We are all about us. Again, outside of Christ, in our natural realm, our natural man. This is what Paul talked about, how he battled. I always do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I always want to do. Until we see glory, we have a natural body. We're fighting against it. It comes against our spirit body. And so we're selfish and we're prideful by nature. There's no one here that we even really know of that is really a good person. You're like, no, my aunt in Ardmore, she was really a good lady. She wasn't really saved, but she really was generous. She really reached out to other people. Not true. Not true, because your aunt in Ardmore, what she was doing was she was trying to break down this understanding of I've got problems by doing good works. I'm going to try to put down my problems by reaching out to others. See, her motives were selfish. They were selfish. But here, with us being released of that, having understood I have an old man and a new man, I'm trying to be renewed on a regular basis, we have a fellowship that's built on a spiritual foundation. And because the ultimate end game for all people is self-fulfillment, in Christ, the intimacy with us is all being built on Christ's fulfillment. And that is a power and an understanding and the truth that is against what the world tells us. And so if we're going to have true intimacy as known through the Bible, it's got to be God-based. His ways are the way we are seeking. In fact, in Isaiah 55:9, it clearly says that His ways are greater than our ways. And if we are in Jesus Christ, then we are all on that foundation, on that rock, and on that truth. And no matter how far we fall down, there is a strong foundation that stops us from going elsewhere. And the fellowship comes together, and we have these intimate bonds, and we know how to pray for each other. We're going to speak about that in a moment. And we know how to come together, and we help each other. And so as we are understanding that His ways are greater than my ways, we have in the church this in verse 7 that He says again. Let's look at it one more time. Verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. And as He has the chains and the defense, the last part of that verse, you are all partakers with me in grace. We're together, loved ones. Whether you like it or not, we're different types of people, but we have a bond in Jesus Christ. And through His Holy Spirit, through the renewing of our mind, through the reaching out, through our ways being set aside and His ways coming in, we begin to have this gracious look at each other. And we start accepting people. We start looking for not the faults, but how I can start praying and lifting you up and building you up. Freeman and I pray for you all, loved ones. We pray for you. And because we have a desire for all of us to gather fruits of righteousness and go forth in kingdom building. And so we do that purposefully, and we do it with our hearts, and we are all partakers. But it's not from us. It's not because it's just, I want to do this. It's again in verse 8, it's of Jesus Christ. I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. That is such a tender verse. That verse is just full of beauty of the love of God. I find that in times when we're dealing with difficult people, not difficult, people having a difficult time with Jesus, they're not getting through certain aspects. There's some wall spiritually that keeps coming up against them. What I find normally is that they have a hard time with the love of God. It's the love of God, when you receive it in its fullness and its authenticity, that will take down the strongholds and allow you to advance. And because the love of God is not for you, it gets given out. And we give it out to each one here in the brotherhood. And we give it out then to others outside of that, because that's what they long for and they yearn for. And so purposefully seeing the love of Christ begins to make me operate in a spirit of Christ. And so the people of God get filled with the Spirit of God and begin to advance the kingdom of God. And you see the will of God being fulfilled. Are we waiting for that in our lives? Wait no longer. Let's step forward in spiritual intimacy, not only with Jesus Christ, but with each other. So the foundation's important, and we have that spiritual intimacy as the foundation. There's the next one that's very, very important. It's the purpose. It's the purpose. Anybody who's in Jesus Christ, we have a shared purpose. And that purpose is that we are specifically called, it's non-negotiable, to spread the gospel. To spread the gospel. Everybody doesn't have to show up at every activity here. Everybody doesn't have to do. Sometimes that we get so much activities going that we don't actually hear God anymore. So we got to kind of level that up. I like to see a lot of you here, so please come. I'm not denying you to come. But let us not get too busy doing, that we lose the very purpose of hearing God speaking to us. Go here and talk to them. Go here and talk to them. Hey, share it with that person who's crying right now. Can you take some time out of your busy schedule to go over there? And see, so as we see the activities become static and we can't hear God, we settle down because our purpose is renewed in Jesus Christ. The intimacy is built and we have the understanding that our gospel is our purpose. And in verse 5, He says very clearly here, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. We're not waiting for this to be built up. From the first day until now, it's always been and it always will be. Our purpose as a body is to spread and confirm and defend the gospel. That is what we are to do. We also then to go on and make disciples. So as we preach the gospel, we give it out to everybody. We bring them into a relationship, into the spiritual intimacy, and we disciple. And we look to multiply. That's our whole goal. And so some understand this. Paul and the Philippians were being partakers in a gospel that was very different. He was in chains in Rome. They were in Philippi in this godless city. But here's the illusion. Life gets intense. Life gets intense. And some of us, let's use the illustration of first responders. Some of us, when we have this purpose understood, go out and get the gospel, is that as we get out there, we get kind of consumed with, this is what I'm going to do together, and we lose focus. EMTs, firemen, emergency doctors, policemen, if you tend to see the problems they may have, if they get too close, they forget what's going on. And that's a very difficult thing, because in the hubbub of what they're responding to, they have a brotherhood, a fraternal togetherness, and it's very traumatic. Anybody in the life-saving business is that way. And you all are in the life-saving business. There are people dying and going to hell. Eternity is being left up to, I don't thought I knew, but we didn't tell them. We have to get together into it. It doesn't stop because we think they may know about Jesus. And so there Paul was in his jail cell, still teaching these people hundreds of miles away that your purpose is still the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. He's connecting his intimacy through the purpose of what we're here together gathered for. And so as gospel believers and gospel sharers, even when it's hard, even when I don't know how to do it, we help each other be encouraged in defending the good news. Not consumed with here, but focused on out there. Some of us have family members. Some of us have co-workers that we're with. Some of us just walk through lines in Walmart or walk down the street and see homeless people that may need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Go into the world and take back the territory of God's kingdom. Take it out of the hands of the darkness and light it up with the light of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Our fraternity, our brotherhood is eternally powerful. So the common purpose of communicating the gospel is one other part of our aspect of intimacy. Our spiritual foundation, our shared purpose. Here's another one. Relationships become intimate through prayer. As I said earlier, Freedom and I pray for each one of you. We take some time, sometimes together, sometimes apart, but we pray. I can actually picture, like I said, you all sit in the same place. So I can actually picture the church, and I can pray every one of you individually. I don't know all your issues. I don't have to know. It's not about that. But as we pray, sometimes specific needs do come, but most likely it's usually general blessings. And this is how Paul prayed. Let's look at his prayers here for the Philippians. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. There's an intimate understanding. Do you remember each one here and pray for them? Next one, verse 4, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy. Continuance prayer. We don't just pray once. We don't just say, okay, I've done, did that. It's continuous. In verse 9, this here he says, and this I pray. Now he's actually setting up a prayer for them. Now I'm going to say what? If I was sitting back in Philippi or some of these other areas and Paul was writing a letter and they got to a point where I found out Paul was praying for me, I'd be like, what are you praying for me, Paul? This is Paul the apostle. What's he praying for? So not only generally, he's got a specific prayer. And so I look at this and say, what did he pray for them? And this is in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Wow. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That's eternal perspectives there. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, I will tell you, often I pray blessings upon people. Oh, may you bless them, may you fill them. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I didn't see anything about prosperity here. It was all about knowing, loving, and being content and filled with the power of God. That's the prayers we should be. That's intimate prayers. That's, hey, I know God's got your finances. I know God's got your health. I know God's got all that. He says that's who he is. But let me pray that you are filled with the fruits of righteousness. Let me feel that you are content in who he is and be approved that the things that are excellent are in you. And that you may be sincere in your faith. Now that's some praying. And Paul knew how to do that. And so as he's reading this out to them and they're being loved on by Paul and they're receiving those prayers and they're being filled with all the truths that he has, the intimacy is being built. Spiritual intimacy is built through prayer. Praying together breaks down walls and brings people together. Praying for each other changes attitudes and perspectives towards each other. So not only with each other, but for each other, and it creates a unity and a joy of being together in a fellowship that is called a church. So hearts begin to be knit together through spiritual exercises, and that muscle of the Spirit gets worked and strengthened, and the devil doesn't have a place in a strong stronghold of God. No longer the stronghold of Satan, a stronghold of God. It's really how we bear one another's burdens. The scriptures tell us, bear one another's burdens. Excuse me. So spiritual intimacy emerges from grace and peace. It's shared through working and praying on a common purpose of sharing the gospel. And we need to learn to cultivate intimacy. It doesn't just come. So I wanted to think of a few things we can take away of this. You might want to jot these down and through your Bible studies in the next week. It's just a couple simple steps. I don't really have a lot of discussion about it or teaching on it. But I want to give before you maybe how we can cultivate the intimacy within this group called Countryside. First of all, look at each other as Christ looks at them. Have eyes of Jesus for each person here. He has it for you. Give it to others. Look at them as Christ looks at them. Another one here. Don't be easily offended. Don't be easily offended. Someone says something. They may be in a place they're not even thinking. They may not have a motive that you may have understanding of. Don't be easily offended. Intimacy works through the offenses. It goes past it. It forgives. Here's another one. This is a hard one. Allow others to be blessed at your expense. Now, I'm not talking about the expense of money. I'm talking about the expense of whatever it is inside of your being that may be given to somebody else. Think about that. See how you can bless others at your expense. Because really, on that cross 2,000 years ago, that man who claimed to be God and then proved it 3 days later died in your place. He died in your place. He was the one who exemplified blessings at his expense. How much more should we not give it to each other? So it's what Jesus did for you. You so do it for others. Amen? Amen. Well, Father God, I thank you that we can go through the scriptures, and the book that is Philippians teaches us so much of a beautiful church gathered together. And though it had its problems, Lord, we see that as Paul led them and taught them, they were willing and receiving. Let this place be filled with reception of your Holy Spirit's work in our hearts. Lord, spiritual intimacy is a blessing that can be cultivated, and the fruits not only bless each other, Lord, I know it blesses you. And so may those who look inside these walls, maybe come and visit in the times upcoming in the future, will see a house of love, a blessing that Jesus Christ exemplified in his life, and it's amongst each person here. I thank you for the hearts willing to listen. I thank you for our hearts that are willing to grab hold of changes that need to happen, whatever they are. And by your Holy Spirit, may we encourage each other and give the blessings that are the truths of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right.